Hey guys, how you doing tonight? I'll tell you what, we are having a wonderful day. It's been a very tiring day. Spent a lot of time down at the VA, Veterans Affairs down here in South Carolina. So it's a little tired, but woke up and feeling refreshed. And what a better way to do that than cover in the Bible. Welcome to Life Walk with Christ God. But what a better way to refresh yourself with the Word of God. So, and of course, this is the Trim Radio Network. You're going to have to come on over and see some of the other wonderful shows that we have. Red Pill Reality Show, Offsides, College Football's Top 25 Plus 5. We also have, Money and Change, My World, Live, Laugh, and Whatever with Stu Scheer. We have Ranch It Up. We have, the Prostitute Podcast. We have, with Maggie. Just so many different things that are going on with the radio station. So it's been very busy. And this is our other show, Life Walk. So we have a lot going on. Always looking to add more shows. We're trying to do that. We enjoy that. But anyway, here's what we're doing tonight. And this is really a favorite book of mine. And I like this because this answers so many questions as far as how things were. I mean, we get involved in everything and we see all these things on TV. But how was it really with... as we get into this, and I'm sorry, I'm making an adjustment. I didn't really do that before we did. How do we start reading and picking up and learning the Bible along the way? And this is a big thing that people have asked me. You know, where did you start? How did you learn? And how did you gather enough knowledge to sit here and do that? Well, you can pick up a Bible and you can read a Bible, but you're not reading a Bible because it's very difficult to see everything. It does take an immense amount of going over it and over it and over it again. And there's so many levels to it. You just have to keep peeling them back and ask God. You must ask God. That's the biggest thing. You have to ask for knowledge and you have to ask for discernment and understanding, and then it becomes a life tool. And when I mean a life tool is it's things open up. You will see it. You will start to see a growing of understanding and saying, oh, okay, that makes sense. This makes sense. Well, why is this? And then you do the research with it. It's probably one of the hardest books to read, but it's also one of the easiest books to read. Quite the oxymoron there, right? And a corundrum. So, but it's really, really cool. But tonight, I'm going to get into some of that. And we're going to talk about some of this. And people are like, how do you know that the Bible's real? How can we be sure? Because mankind will sit there and manipulate what books go in, or why didn't this book go in, and this book, and Book of Enoch, why wasn't that in there, or whatever? Well, it's a real simple answer, and one that I've come to, it's become very clear to me. The Bible is here for, it really is, your basic instructions before leaving Earth, but the Bible is here for you to understand and get a relationship with God and with Christ. There is no other reason. That's exactly what it's for. That is the main purpose. And those other books, these other angels, you know, hey, this angel or the Nephilim or the Anunnaki, or, you know, let's talk about the Watchers and everything else. I don't care. That's the thing. And when you see all these reels and all these videos of everything going on, and you know what? Everybody on these reels and these videos have this, you know, like they have some special knowledge of something. And, you know, this is the time or this. How many times? I think I could count probably 10 times that more in my lifetime that the world was going to come to an end and, you know, God is coming back. And then when they don't hit their date and their time, well, then you never heard from that person again. Or they come back and they say, okay, we calculated wrong. You sure did. You calculated way wrong. And that's part of the problem when you see these reels is the biggest enemy in your life is that phone, that computer. It is an enemy. It is not your friend. The only way to combat it is take what's evil and use it for good. God has taught us that all the way through the entire book of the Bible, which makes it absolutely wonderful, but it also proves it's factual. The way that it's factual truths. And I think the way to best describe it is that they're saying now today that people are trying to, well, they're trying to start the rapture. They're trying to do this. The world is going to end and God's coming soon. And, you know, we could see it now. Look at the events going on. Yeah, look at the events going on. There's a lot of events going on. There's been a lot of events going on. In my lifetime, there's been a ton of events that have went on. You know, the Iran hostage. You could go back. I mean, from the time right before I was born, I mean, we had a standoff with Russia, bringing nuclear weapons, over to Cuba. And, you know, that was a standoff there. There were so many different things that have gone on. Wars, rumors of wars. Now we got a guy that's over, I believe he is over right now in Europe or Asia, claiming to be the next Messiah. And he's out there trying to bring groups together and peoples together. It's peaceful now, and he's trying to do this. And of course, we're watching things that are happening. Oh, peace accords are starting to happen and everything else. Peace accords have been happening. I can't tell you how many peace accords that I've watched with just dealing alone with Israel and all the different countries. And then along came Hamas, the Houthis, Hezbollah. I mean, it has been the PLO. It's been group after group after group after group. And these groups, not the people, but they say they represent the people. They don't represent the people. They represent themselves, have caused all this conflict and have driven hate-raged people all over the United States. It's a propaganda thing. We've seen it. You should feel bad for this group. You should feel bad for this group. The bottom line is that either way, evil is evil, and you cannot sit there and try to say, okay, well, the lesser of two evils in this case. No, the lesser of two evils is still evil. And that's the problem that we have as human beings. Everybody thinks that we walk in this wonderful way with God. And the truth is, we're lousy. We're terrible. We're awful. We're the biggest sinners of the world and the biggest hypocrites. We want to have a relationship with God, if some of us even believe in God. And then we want to have it on our terms and not on God's terms. How does that work? It doesn't work that way. We already know this. We could go backwards in time. And we can see, oh, there are people that know the laws. They know all the things, the traditions, the laws, the rules, you know, and they can tell you chapter and verse. Well, that's great. But if you're not upholding those rules and doing those laws and doing it exactly how God wants, that's on your terms then. If you are sitting there and putting a spin on those laws to betterment you or your group, again, whose relationship are you having? Are you having one with God or are you having one with yourself? And this is the problem that's been going on with mankind. But Christ did give us an answer for this. We saw this. We read this in Matthew. It's in Luke. It's in Mark. It's in, you know, John. And, you know, he said, listen, people are going to say, there he is. There's the Messiah. There's the Messiah. He's over there. He's over here. Don't listen to him. Don't follow him. Oh, but there's times of wars going on. Yeah, there'll be times of wars and rumors of wars and all the different things that are going to happen. But there's a lot of things going on. If you ask people, what are the seven spirits of God? What are they? What are the seven lampstands? What are the seven stars? Do they have an answer for you? No, they don't, because they only cherry pick. These people cherry pick verbiage. They cherry pick chapter verse to fit a narrative that gives them some kind of credibility to carry on and deceive. And we know this because this is all part of Satan, the devil's game. It is to steal, kill, and destroy. Well, how do we know that he does that? And how do we know that that's what he does? Well, the parable of the sower of the seed in Matthew is very clear on that. We know because that's been his end game the entire time. And is it possible that the fallen one third of the angels are the ones that are down here causing chaos upon the earth? Well, guess where they are? In the earth. So, yeah, it's very possible, implausible, and very likely. I mean, but again, the biggest issue is not them. It is yourself. You are the biggest problem, depending on how you live your life, depending on the choices that you make. And we all do it. I do it. We make poor choices, made lots of them, too many to count, more than the average bear probably. Doesn't matter. I'm still a bear, right? But the truth is that knowing that you have a chance to be forgiven for these things and you have a chance to right yourself, will you take that? Or is it too much for you? I don't want to give that up. I don't want to give this up. I kind of like it. It's comfortable. I'm comfortable. Okay, well, then you're in the perfect spot for where Satan is stealing from you. Oh, he's not bothering you. Things are good. You got two cars in the driveway. You've got a nice house. You got dogs. You got a great job. You know, you're working from home, and then you go on to some trips and stuff. Life is good. You're set up. You have enough cash for retirement and everything. But you're young, so you're not even close to retirement anyway. You're meeting the buddies. You're heading down to Las Vegas. You're heading maybe onto a vacation with the family and everything else. Life is good. But it's also a very precarious cliff that you're walking on. And why is that? Because you don't have Christ God in your life. And people are like, you know what? This guy's just another religion. It's not a religion. It's a spiritual relationship. It's different. It's not man-made. It is a spiritual relationship. And understand, when you read this and do this, do what's right. Do what's just. Do what's, you know, you're walking in the ways of Christ. And we've talked about this on here many times. The washing of the feet, the walking, serving. You know, but being of service, it's actually a very incredible and comforting way to live a life and still have those things. God didn't say you couldn't have those things. God said what you need to understand is those things cannot save you. Those things become idols if you sit there and you say, I love my car. You know, I love my house. Well, how do you really look at it? The perspective is that it's not yours. How do we know that? Because you can't take it with you. What are you going to do? Fold it in a box and bring it on with you? If you think you're saved, you can't open it up there in heaven. God already made it clear. Christ said himself in Matthew, I have a room ready for you. If I didn't, would I tell you I would? I mean, guess what? It's different than the house that you're in. Way better, way more beautiful, way more precious. And we know that too. Why? Because you're alive forever. You are alive. You're serving God. You're walking with Christ. You're in peace. There's harmony. There's no death, no sickness, no mourning, none of that. It is a wonderful spiritual relationship. And it has no time limit. It's outside of time, space, and matter, which is a wonderful, wonderful gift. Think of all the different things that you're going to experience and go through. And yet we're caught up here in one world. And when asked to choose from one to another, what is chosen? The selfish, worldly things. So what kind of relationship are we having? And I think that is one of the most important things that we truly need to ask ourselves. And how are we living this life? You know, we've got Halloween, Thanksgiving, and Christmas right around the corner. That's what we have. And with these things coming up, we have looked at it in the past and we're like, okay, I should do some of my Christmas buying now for presents and everything and get it out of the way so that way we can enjoy Christmas all the more. I'll buy all the presents now, or I'll buy them on Black Friday. There's a play on words, Black Friday, after Thanksgiving. You got this Black Friday. And I'm thinking, it's dark. It's very dark. And people go on out, and they get in these lines, and they want to get that last digital camera. They want to get the last iPhone. They want to get the last Android. They want to get the last Xbox. And they're out in the street beating each other up. They're whooping each other out in the street to get these gifts. And the truth of the matter is, there's no need. There's no need. And it's just, it doesn't need to be there. It's, you can't do it that way. It's not meant to be celebrated that way anyway. It's meant to be enjoyed. And it's meant to be with the right thing in focus. And I think that that's what we miss, is that those events, those happenings, and everything else are really not in celebration of Christ God. And they aren't. So it's very hard to understand that. I think the other thing that we do is, how much of a burden have we laid upon ourselves and we call something tradition when it's man-made? I've been through this whole thing. I don't recall one time it ever being called Thanksgiving or Christmas or Halloween in there. None of that. So where did these things come from? How did they come about? Simple. It was man. Everything was man-made. Therefore, it's flawed. If it's man-made, it is flawed. Understand something. Hard to not argue that point, because what haven't we done that's not flawed? Relations with countries. Then wars break out. People are dying, but yet you see the dignitaries. They're all sitting. They're not suffering at all. They don't know these people. They're just in the military. Okay, send them along. And they're sitting there. They're having their chocolate milk, getting all warm and fuzzy. And losing their lives, women, you know, mothers losing their children, fathers losing their children, daughters, sons, and everything else to fight a war that these kids don't understand. They're just trying to defend their country because they love their country and love their freedom. And the people who sent them along to go and to defend that are living a life of wonderful bliss. I mean, it doesn't make any sense, but we learn a little something about this because this has always been the way it's been. So when people say, oh, well, God's coming, this is happening, everything, he is, but it's going to be in his time. Nobody knows a time or a date. We already know this. How could we forget something so easy that has been instructed for us? Well, Ecclesiastes is simple. There's nothing new under the sun. Everything under the sun. There's nothing new under the sun. I love Ecclesiastes because of the way that they break that down. And it's true from yesterday, today, and tomorrow. Show me something new. There isn't. It is the same old man. It's the same old world. It's the same old just theme. It's the same old story. It's everything is the same. Hey, but let's get into, this is one of my favorite enjoyable times where I get to look at things, hear things, go over them, and share them with you. So that's the cool thing about it. So let's get on over to John 1, and it's really cool. And then we're going to jump to Luke, and I'm going to show you some really cool things.
In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. The Word was God. He was with God in the beginning.
Now, we hear that. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. And the Word was God. So we're seeing two separate things. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. And the Word was God. Two in one, three in one. So we know that there is a Trinity, Trinity of Trinities, Father, Son, Holy Ghost. But there's also things that are in agreement with them that we know, because we can lead later on and we'll see that the water and the blood are in agreement of Christ being, and it has multiple meanings too. This is those layers I was telling you you could peel back. And the blood and the water, we're in agreement. The blood and the water, the blood that was coming out of Christ, the water that was coming out of him when he was speared, you know, which they did instead of breaking his legs, which was typical in crucifixion in Rome, was to make sure that's how they knew the person was dead. They didn't need to do that. With Christ, thus fulfilling another prophecy that came about all the way back from Isaiah, Jeremiah, and you can look. I mean, there's so many different things that happened. 300 different prophecies that all came true in the new covenant versus the old covenant, and it fulfills that too. Is because we know that Christ says, I'm not here to abolish the laws of Moses, or, you know, the laws of the prophets, everything that was fulfilled. He said, I'm here to fulfill them. They are now completed. They are now done. By the actions that I take here for your benefit, for my benefit, those things are done. Those things are fulfilled. So, I think that a lot of people misunderstand that. You know, you can have a relationship and a wonderful relationship with God and have a wonderful relationship with Christ because they are one and the same. I'm in God, God is in me. We know that there. John's very clear about this. And that's exactly what he was. How do we know that? Because Christ says, I am the Word. I am the truth. I am the light. I am the way. So all these things are pulled together and give more and more validity to exactly what was true. And it goes on to say, furthermore, you know, he was with God in the beginning, and through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of mankind. And we know, I am the light of the world. And he was and is. And always will be. So when they start talking about the other parables, you know, at night, do you put a lamp, you know, under a bed? No, you put it on a table. You and it gives light to the entire house. He's talking about you just share to make sure everybody has light. There's so many different meanings to that. He is the light. The darkness will not overcome him. But you're to share the word. You're to share the enjoyment. You're to help others. You're to be just walk in the right direction. It has so many different meanings to it. And we just have to learn all the different things that go on. But now that we've covered that part there, we also know there was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness concerning, to testify concerning that light, so that through him all might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. The true light that gives to everyone was coming into the world. He was in the world, and through the world was made through him. The world did not recognize him, and he came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Sometimes the hardest place to go is home. And what is home? Well, I grew up in a place I have no ambitious, you know, to go back to. That's not my life. My life is in a different spot. I've chose a different spot. I live in a different spot. But when I look at it, it's kind of funny because it relates to my children now that are grown up, that are young men. And the hardest part is to come home. They might decide to live in a completely different state, in a different place. And then there's some people that get very content and they want to stay there. But you know most of the people in your neighborhood. You knew all the people that you grew up with. You have a good idea how they are, what they're doing, and everything else. And yet those people couldn't recognize one of their own. And they couldn't recognize the most important thing that the world was given. And that kind of hurts, you know, when you think about that. And John was sent, and we know he was sent to testify. But the interesting part was the angel made it very clear, coming down the messenger, Gabriel, you know, when he came to Zechariah, Martha's husband, and he said, listen, you're going to have a son, John, and he is going to make way, you know, come out of the wilderness and make the path straight, make way for Christ, level the hills, flatten everything, make it perfect, a good way for him to walk, and cry out so that parents will come back to their kids and their kids back to their parents and they all come back to God. They saw that and still denied it. But John, if we don't think that there is a creator, we don't think that there is God or Christ or the Holy Spirit, we're kind of questioning things that we have no knowledge about. And that knowledge scares people. How can this be? Because our minds are trapped inside thinking there's only one possible explanation, and we're stuck within a limited area, the world. Anything outside of that, we have no understanding of. We're not open to it. Our minds are closed to it. We've been taken down a road and taught this, and therefore it's very closed. Now, instead of having this relationship, this very open relationship, we've boxed ourselves in and we're stuck there because how can this be? And I can never believe anything like that. And I've had people tell me, I don't believe in God. I've had people tell me it's a nonsense. It's this and that. If for some people, it will be like that. I mean, there's nothing that I can do. I'm not here to change their mind. I'm not here to push that on them. Only give them the possibility of maybe, possibly, we were being taught wrong. And we have to be open to everything. So, but I don't believe in, you know, for myself, man-made religion. When has man-made religion ever done anything positive for us? And people are like, what do you mean? You know, it canonized the Bible. You mean the Bible you don't believe in? Do you mean all the wars and all the different things that go on? You mean the limited amount of space and time that we have that you're not willing to look outside of? Or believe that there's an outside of? Yeah, that's exactly what I mean. It's man-made religions. Got to have this tradition. Got to have that tradition. You have to do these things. It's important that you do these things. Said who? God didn't make that clear. Nowhere in the New Testament was anything saying, okay, you must do this except for one thing. Take this bread. Drink this wine in remembrance of me. And we've made it into this big elaborate thing. Christ did this at a table at the Last Supper. It was very simple. They prayed, they broke the bread, they passed it around, and they did this. And he explained this to them. I mean, it was very simple because the focus was on him and God and what he was about to do. And they still didn't understand the full ramifications of what was going to happen. Why? Because why they are the disciples, understand, they weren't the sweetest guys in the world. They didn't go around offering roses to everybody. Criminal, a zealot, you know, a tax collector, different things. But this has been all the way through the entire Bible. Moses murdered a guy. Okay. I mean, we have seen that. Look what Cain did to Abel. I mean, this has always been through. The Bible is full of conflict and then, you know, just resolution, you know, and it's absolutely wonderful. But let's get on to this next part here. And I want to show you something. So we know the word and everything. And of course, John testified concerning him. He cried out saying, this is the one I spoke about when I said, he who comes after me has surpassed me because he was before me. It is a play of exactly what is happening. It is a thing that has happened. John says he was before me, but I didn't know him. But he was before me and surpasses me because John is making the way for Christ. He's making the announcement. Christ is here. God is here. Come. Come, all of you. Come. And he's not picking and choosing. You're here. You're a Jew. You're a Gentile. You're, a Sumerian. You're Roman. The bridge, the gap there that is being covered is for all of mankind on an equal level, that the levels are gone. And we know this again, if you go back to Isaiah 43, forget the former things, forget them. I'm going to be doing a new thing now. So this is what's going on. And this is all based on faith and grace that God has shown throughout the entire 66 books. And people are like, well, the Bible is, you know, is a book. No, it's 66 books, over three continents, with over 40 different authors, it's incredible over the span of over 2000 years. And people are like, well, it was canonized at this time. No, it took years and years and years and years, hundreds and hundreds of years to canonize it. And all these man-made religions say, okay, well, we pulled this in and everything else, and we have this, and that's why we have so many of these different things. But going back to the old groups that religions or everything else that came down or spurred off from the Bible and everything else, we know that all these things. You ever do a journal? Yeah, have you ever made a log? Have you ever kept a log? Airports keep them for planes, trains, taxis, the rides. I mean, businesses. I mean, there are books, right? We have accountability. We have books, so everything is written down. Do you think that's any different from 2,000 years from now when somebody says, these people, we have a log of exactly what happened? So when they say these things weren't true and these people weren't there and they weren't true, but we have testimony. Now we have a videotape. They didn't have videotapes before then, but they have videotapes and we found a couple of them. So we know that these people must exist. So therefore proving the existence of the events and the places and the happenings of that time. So now we're going to go on over here, and I like this one. So I get into Luke now. And my point of this and through all this is that it is not to tell you to, well, you'll be saved if you go to church. Really? Okay, well, you could put on a big shiny badge that says you go to church, and you can do that, and you could polish it up real nice. Make it gleam. Make it just shine so much so you could blind somebody else. Will that get you saved? No. Does baptism get you saved? No. It is not that. These are our beliefs, and we make these wonderful, elaborate presentations out of it. Same with circumcision, same with different things. But the truth of the matter is, believing and honestly having a belief that somebody came here and gave their life to save yours, just as simple as that, except it wasn't simple. It was one of the most complicated events that ever took place in history, and by far the worst and most horrific acts ever perpetrated on one individual. The pain, the suffering and everything that he went through, and people, they don't understand that today. They think, well, war, fires and everything. No, this is not even close. What Christ suffered here on earth was so ridiculous, so upsetting, so just belittling, humiliating, degrading, and everything else is far beyond what anyone could possibly even come close to what he went through for us. And us believing that, hey, he went through this and descended and showed himself and then rose, ascended, to prove I have beaten death. And your belief in that and your love for that knowledge and acknowledging that and sticking by that, that is what will save you. Jesus Christ is our Lord and Savior. He died, and 3 days later, he rose. He descended, he rose, and was seen again. And here we go back. We have scribes, we have stone tablets, we have different things. We have different stories, accounts, and everything, artifacts, places, times, date, witnesses, everything else. That's an open and closed case. It's just that simple. All the facts and everything else bear to the truth of these events to take place at this time with these different facts going on. That is, the rest of it is hey, you're announcing it publicly. That's what baptism is. I'm just telling the world, this is how I feel. I want to tell the world. And that's great, because you're supposed to. And that's a way of doing that. That's great. But the relationship that you have is going to be built upon you not having that relationship, God having that relationship for you. You have to understand, he chose us. We didn't choose him. It's clear. Paul makes this clear. Multiple places. Hebrews. I mean, Christ makes this clear. Again, in all the books, it is just, whew, it's incredible. But let's talk about John for a second. And I love this. Zechariah, of course, he runs into Gabriel, and you can see, is God serious? Yes, God is very serious. People are like, oh, God's got a sense of humor and everything else. Yes and no, possibly. I don't know, but God's very serious. He can make a point. And you better be listening, and you better do it, because if you're on the wrong side, the chastisement and to give you perseverance and to give you knowledge and teachings of that can be quite brutal and painful and to where you wake up real quick. Okay, so anyway, John's his point. For he will be great in the sight of the Lord. He is never to take wine or other fermented drink. He will be filled with the Holy Spirit even before he is born. This is very tricky. People are like, okay, so he's already coming down. Why not just send the Holy Spirit down? He is the Holy Spirit, but let me tell you why. I mean, the Holy Spirit is in him, and let me tell you why. There is a point in a time that the Holy Spirit enters John. How do we know when that is? Well, we know that when the angel came to Mary and she said, hey, I will serve, you know, she had an option. She had a choice. How much of a choice did she have? Well, God chose her. So can she be influenced? I'm sure. But when she went and she was pregnant with Christ in the flesh, immaculate conception, and going over and going to see Martha, opened the door, and Martha, the baby, jumped in her womb. That, bam, there's your Holy Spirit. Mary, or Martha, was filled with the Holy Spirit, and then the baby jumps, and everything is happening. So all these events that are taking place, and John will, you know, here's one of the other things that we didn't know. And he will be filled with the Holy Spirit even before he was born. That was before he was born. He jumped in the womb. He will bring back many of the people of Israel to the Lord their God. That is his one calling from the wilderness, saying, hey, listen, be prepared. Here's the time of God. Let's go. And he will go on before the Lord. Now, a lot of people say, okay, what about all these people that were taken and coming back and everything else? Here's a kind of a cool, in Luke 1, and of course we're getting to 17. So this is a great verse, and I want you to hear this. He will go on before the Lord in the spirit and the power of Elijah. Now we know Elijah and Elisha way back from the Old Testament, the first covenant, not the new covenant, the second covenant, you know, which is the New Testament, but the first one, which is the old. And Elijah, if you remember, was one of two, Enoch being one, but Elijah being the other, that were taken. And God took him. And we know this. So it's very interesting. In the spirit and the power of Elijah, to turn the hearts of the parents to their children and the disobedient to wisdom of the righteous, to make ready a person prepared for the Lord. And it is, when you think about that, how we present ourselves, you could get dressed up in the finest suits. Oh, just wonderful Egyptian or Italian materials and everything else. Good three-piece suits, beautiful fabric. Oh, beautiful. But if you're rotten on the inside, how are you ever going to make that look halfway decent anyway? Because good trees cannot bear bad fruit, and bad trees cannot bear good fruit, meaning you are what you are, and it's up to you. You're either going to do good in this world and help others and be upright and be outspoken and spread the truth, spread the light, or you're going to be, I'm going to cut you down, and, you know, anyone who believes or thinks like that, well, that's great, but now it's throwing your pearls to pigs. Don't waste your time. It's not worth it, you know? And if people try to give you a choice, you make it clear. No, I'm not doing that. I can't do that. You were bought and paid for a price. And it's very clear. With that, guys, you know what? I wanted to go through, and I wanted to show you those things. I think that it is important for us to understand. I'm encouraging you to dig deeper and peel back some layers. And I'm making it simple. I don't want to be complicated and get into the stories because I can. But I don't want to be. I want to just give you a little taste of trying to dig in and understand this without giving you some kind of, well, if you don't do this, this is what's going to happen to you. We don't make that choice anyway. I think God's very clear when he says, I will have mercy on who I will have mercy. I will have compassion on who I have compassion. His choice. So therefore, you know, don't let people lay that on you, because it gives God a bad reputation of what's not true. You know, and if people are like, okay, here's a last final note. They were talking, I was talking with somebody, and it's online, and they have all these controversial things online. And she's like, well, they were talking about the, and it's such a delicate subject, transgenders, and, you know, getting this care to transform. And I said, well, I think it's wrong if you're trying to encourage children to do this, if you're playing with their mind to do this. Well, it's medical care. Well, it's not medical care. I mean, it is what I call manipulation. And then you're mutilating and hurting children. Well, those people, they ought to go to jail. But if you believe that, if your whole case is now falling in upon itself, if you believe they should go to jail, my question is, if there's nothing wrong with it, then why would you believe that? You have to test these things, test the spirits, test the things that are going on around you. I mean, you can't have it one way and then say another way. It doesn't make much sense there. You know, you either say it's okay to do this and it's right, and we have more than two genders. We have 450, and today I'm a watermelon and tomorrow I'm a toaster. And then I'm going to, because I feel like a guy and I don't know my anatomy, I'm going to change into a woman, or I feel like a woman and I'm going to change into a guy. Okay, great. That's fine. And then you turn and say, well, if they do it to children, that's a bad thing. But then your whole argument caves in upon you, because you are then saying, then you know you're doing wrong. So if you know you're doing wrong, and you see this over and over again especially with different subjects that are going on. So I'm not picking on one group or picking on another group. I'm trying to make a point, the testing of it. And I think that's the most important thing, is test your heart. And sometimes before you say something, take a deep breath, think about it, and then, you know, it doesn't mean I don't get involved with, you know, I've had some great, great debates that are on there. I've had people insult me pretty good and I laugh about it, or I've insulted them. And we're human. This is the things that we do sometimes. It doesn't make it right. It's not. And then I kick myself afterward for doing it. But it's, I think that we do need to reach out to each other in a more compassionate, empathetic, loving way, and slow down a little. Slow down. It's not coming apart at the seams altogether, but we do need to better ourselves. Don't worry about the world. Guess what? It does not sit here and dictate forever. Because it won't be forever. The world will be a completely changed and different thing. And we know this also. It's going to depend on us. Where's your final destination? Where do you want to be? And what impact, what goodness have you brought to the world? And can that goodness and that impact outweigh the negative things that you've done? And I'm going to tell you what, no, your negative things that you and I have done in this world, if you put it on a scale, it's not even close. The negative things just go whoop and sink like a ship and we go up. You know, the good things go up. But Christ evens that out. And then he turns it the other direction. And he did that for us. So, if you read it as a love story. It's the greatest love story ever written. And it's going to be filled with conflict and resolution, poetry, beautiful analogies and metaphors, a poetic justice, you know, a theology, parallelisms. I mean, it's just, it is a story that I can read over and over and over and over again and fall in love with it more, because the more I read it and the more I fall in love with it, one of the greatest things is the more peace that it brings me. Now, I have no idea who watches. I have no idea who gets on here. If it helps one person, hey, that's awesome. That's how I do things, to help me deal with everything that I deal with. The only thing that I found was I can go to God and find my peace and find my comfort. I mean, you can wear a cross all day long. I could wear this cross today, tomorrow, the next day, and everything like that. This cross cannot save me. This cross is made of gold, white gold, yellow gold, beautiful, beautiful necklace around it. You know, it's just absolutely stunning. Can't do a thing for me. Cannot save my life. Cannot do anything. Maybe deflect a bullet. I don't know. But it can't save me. It doesn't do anything. It has no power in itself. It cannot make decisions for me. It cannot do anything. It's an idol. And it's just like anything else. But you have to see it for what it is. I can look at a crystal. I can pull. I have this wonderful, just real pretty, and it's pretty. And if you turn it to the side, you'll see it shimmer and light, and it's really cool to look at. It's a stone. It will never be more. It's a geode. It's never more than a stone. It has no powers. Don't worship to it. Don't bow down to it. Don't do anything to it, because it offers you nothing. To relationship, that relationship with Jesus Christ, with God, that doesn't offer you. You have a choice. But by making that choice, you give yourself options. And the option is real simple. You can enjoy a relationship with God. And it's just that simple. And I hope you do. Listen, be good. Have a wonderful week. Hey, thanks for sharing on here. And we'll see you next week. Take care.